Welcome to Money Your Way. My name is Jess, and I'll be your host. This podcast is all about empowering women just like you to feel confident when making choices in the world of personal finance. It can feel super confusing and overwhelming when there's unfamiliar lingo and tons of options, so I'll do my best to keep this fun and simple as we learn together. What do you say? Let's jump right in. Welcome to today's episode of Money Your Way. I'm really excited because this is actually a topic that we haven't had on the podcast yet. So Lance Bellin is here. He's a CFP and author, and he's going to talk about something that's become really passionate for him, which is basically focusing on helping people keep more of the money they make by reducing the taxes they pay. And I know I'm excited for this. We're in tax season right now, in the thick of it. We're recording this early March. So welcome to the show, Lance.
Thank you, Jessica. Pumped to be on it.
Awesome. So do you want to give a little bit of background on how you got to this space in the first place through your own career, especially years as a CFP, and then finding this niche for yourself?
Yeah. So quick background, I got in the financial services industry, not because I knew what I wanted to do with my life graduating college. I would say it was because I didn't have great grades. I wasn't really well connected. And this person said, hey, you might become a financial advisor. And I was like, that sounds intriguing. But I'd say there's some divine intervention that was taking place that I wasn't aware of back then allow me to survive, because less than, looking back statistics, especially out of college, there's less than a 10% success ratio of individuals continuing. But I was able to somewhat, thrive and really have found what my purpose in life is because of it, but it's to give people financial peace of mind and to give them clarity regarding how they're going to accomplish their financial goals. And so it's a lot of fun. I get to do that on a day-to-day basis and have, good impact on people.
Yeah, I love that. And, taxes is something that impacts all of us and has something maybe like isn't very understood, especially for those of us, like most of my listeners who are younger and are just in those early years of needing to pay taxes, navigating ways that maybe they can be saving on taxes and feeling overwhelmed with the way that the laws change every year. So do you have any guidance on, where to start with that? And even if it just means some beginning terminology in the whole world of taxes?
Yeah, so I would ask your listeners to have a bigger lens as far as how they're thinking about taxes. I'd like for them to think taxes over their lifetime versus in 2023. And if you can do that, you can really take advantage of how the tax code is written. But if you don't do that, you're always just probably going to be complaining about how much taxes you pay each year, whether you're in your late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, or even retired. And so I had my big aha experience after I was a certified financial planner. Supposedly, I'm supposed to know, right? Be very knowledgeable. But I formed a mastermind group or a think tank of other certified financial planners throughout the U.S. so I could share ideas, best practices, concepts, right? Sharpen the saw. Best move I've ever done in my career. But I remember this person in Seattle, his name is Rich Stewart. He made a comment I remember today, and I don't know if you've ever had an aha experience, Jessica, in life that you're like, I'll never forget that. But he made a comment that says, hey guys, I'm going to show you how to take money out of an IRA and not pay taxes on it. And I remember I was like, I don't think that can be done. Right. And so I never had thought big picture. And so that was kind of the premise of my life change personally. And then I formed then the foundation of our firm as far as helping people grow wealth strategically so that they can pay less taxes in the future. But it's kind of a mind shift that a person has to have, is not put all the focus on in the present year, but position their wealth strategically so they can then benefit from paying less taxes later. And so would love to share more about kind of that concept as we get into your show. But that was kind of, in premise, I would urge your listeners to kind of think bigger picture versus just in the present year. I'd also ask you and your listeners to just Google this, but you can go Google historical federal tax rates. historical federal tax rates. And what you're going to find is that we actually currently are in the lowest tax rate environment in the United States history. And many individuals don't know that.
I actually didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. There has been taxes, get this, as high as 90%, 70%, 50%, only going back to the 80s. And so during the last 20 years, the graph goes down and has stayed level. So I say that because I know we don't like paying taxes and it always feels like we're paying too much. But I think there's a higher probability in the future that tax rates are higher than lower. I'm not an economist. I'm not making any guarantees, but my simple brain thinks about our federal deficit, the way it's out of control, Medicare, Medicaid, our Social Security system, right? It's not financially solvent. So the government is going to either raise revenue by increasing taxes or decrease expenses. And they might do both, but most likely they'll raise revenue. That's the easiest way to do it, right? And so I think it's more important to position our wealth so in the event tax rates are higher down the road, we are not captive to that. We can actually have flexibility in how much taxes that we pay.
Definitely. And I think, you know, this is those years where we have, and I say we, like myself and the listeners in that 25 to 35 year old range, the majority of us, we have time on our side before retirement. And that seems to be, regardless of different investment viewpoints and strategies for retirement, time seems to be the most beneficial factor across the board in being able to help make a impact. And so, you know, with that in mind, it is something that, you know, we should be thinking about. You mentioned IRA. That might not be a term that everyone knows. So could you take a second to kind of define that in your own words and then maybe share some of the different things that my listeners, especially those, you know, on W-2 standard employed jobs might be exposed to, in the world of different accounts that are impacting their retirement taxes?
Yeah, you bet. There's actually three categories we can accumulate our wealth in, only three. I have them in my book as buckets. So bucket one is what we call your pre-tax bucket. If I put money in, it lowered the amount of taxes I have to pay in the present year. It then doesn't get taxed as long as it stays inside the account. And then, but when I withdraw the money in the future, Uncle Sam gets to say, now you get to pay me, right? That's when it becomes taxable. So vehicles that are in that bucket, that category, are IRAs, and that stands for individual retirement accounts, 401ks, which are, if I'm a W-2 employee, I work for a company, most companies have a 401k retirement plan. And then if I'm a teacher, right? That's another category, but same premise. It's called 403Bs. But in essence, I'm getting immediate tax benefits by saving. But when we talk about time a little bit, I'm going to tell you why the government wants you to use this bucket. We'll get to that in just a second. The second bucket is your what we call your after-tax bucket. It's money that I've gotten paid from my employer or my self-employment, and it's kind of excess. I'm not spending it. So I decide to buy a piece of real estate, or I decide to invest it. I buy a stock or a mutual fund or an ETF, an investment vehicle that, or I could put it in savings, right, at the bank. That bucket is liquid. We can use it for anything we want, but we have to pay taxes every year on our earnings or if we have a capital gain. When I say capital gain, that means I bought something for $100 and I sold it for $150. The government says, hey, there is a gain there that you need to pay us. So every year, being tax time as it is right now, we get these invoices from our financial institutions like a bank or a mortgage company or an investment company. And it's called a 1099. It says, hey, here's how much interest that you have made. You need to report this as taxable. Or here is your capital gain statement. You know, so you need to pay taxes on that gain. So That money, there's three tax rates that exist on that on that bucket. It's a 0%, 15%, and 20%. And I'll get more into that in just a little bit. But then the third and final bucket, I call it your tax-free bucket. And this is, I think, what you and your listeners should try to load up as much as you can. But it's opposite of bucket one. It's putting money in after tax. So I didn't get an immediate benefit. But then the money grows deferred, meaning I never pay taxes during the accumulation years. And then when I take money out, it's tax-free. So opposite of that is a Roth IRA, so a Roth individual retirement account. There's also Roth 401k. So many of your listeners who work for a company, now they have a 401k plan, and they now have two options. You can put money in pre-tax or into Roth. Not all companies have it, but about, I would say, 80% companies now have added that feature to their plan. If you're self-employed, you can have a different types of retirement plans that have that feature. There's also what's called a health savings account, which is a little bit more on the, you know, directed for health insurance. But if we don't use it, it grows tax-free. So what I'm urging and helping people do is, hey, let's make sure we know how much we currently have in each bucket. Like, how much do I have in bucket one, bucket two, and bucket three? And how am I saving each year so that I can forecast how much money I'm going to have in the future? And that is the kind of the foundation that I try to help individuals with. So instead of just helping individuals know how much they need to save to beat their retirement goal, I'm also helping them know how which bucket they should be saving in so that then they can pay less taxes.
That really simplifies it, putting it in those three buckets. And, you know, when you start thinking about retirement, and under the assumption that we'll just do this whole show on that taxes would be higher in our retirement time frame, call it 40 years, right? Then the no tax option in retirement for withdrawing from those accounts for that lifestyle then sounds like the most appealing option. And like you said, it might not even be something that people are aware of that got added to their accounts, and they can change. Now, I think it will come up as a question, and so I'll ask it. Say someone goes into their account and finds out, oh my gosh, I've been contributing to my traditional 401k for the current year tax benefits every time, and I found out now that they have the Roth 401k option. Should I completely switch over my strategy? Should I do a half and half? I'm in a position to contribute to both, but I think there's a limit every year that applies. So kind of that thought process. And I know it's bringing it back to current year taxes a little bit, but that's going to be a very relevant conversation for people who are in the position that they're contributing through their employer retirement options.
I agree. So to answer your question, in general, the younger a person is, I can financially do the numbers and validate they should save in the Roth versus pre-tax. It's almost easy math, and I'll go over it with you in a simple example. But if I'm working for an employer and I was contributing into the pre-tax 401k, I can immediately just go online and switch my contributions from 0% pre-tax to 100% Roth. And then all the contributions from that point forward go in after tax. So it's really easy to do. I can also do 50-50 or 70-30, right? We can mix it up, but generally speaking, I'm all one or another. And so listeners that are in their 20s, 30s, even 40s, I think we could make the case, a strong case, that they would be better off into Roth. And I'll tell you why. Remember, you mentioned time earlier, and time is also your biggest advocate to grow wealth, right? Because how wealth compounds. And, you know, that's just like a secret that exists as far as, hey, my money for every, if I save $10,000, it doubles every 7 years if I make 10% on my money. So that 10,000 goes to 20, the 20 to 40, the 40 to 80, the 80 to 160. And it's just crazy, you know, how that works. So time is your best element, but it's also because Uncle Sam would rather you put money in pre-tax because of this. So let's use that $10,000 for example. Hypothetically, can we just use easy tax rates? Let's just say you're in a 30% tax rate. Okay. So you benefited, you saved $3,000 if you put that money in pre-tax. That 10,000 we said grows to 20, right? The 20 grows to 40, the 40 to 80, the 80 to 160. And we can stop there. But if you're in your 30s, you're definitely getting four doubles or probably five doubles. So the 160, they go to 320. So let's just use 160. So now Uncle Sam gets to tax all that 160,000, right? So not all that money's yours. So it's, even though it's on your statement, it's not all yours.
Mm-hmm.
So you might say, well, what if we're in a lower tax rate? And I'm going to argue that tax rates are, you know, potentially will be higher, but let's just say that, all right, 20%, 20% of 160,000, right, is $23,000 the government got versus $3,000 if I, you know, benefit.
$32,000. So yeah, it's actually right. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
That's okay.
And so, yeah, you see how the government wins in that scenario? So they got more money by you getting the tax benefit up front. So they want you to save in the 401k pre-tax. It means more revenue for them. But if I have $160,000 in a Roth, that's all mine. I don't have to pay taxes on it. It's not even reportable as income. So bucket three is a very beneficial bucket, you know, for individuals younger in age, but really for all individuals. But the younger you are, the more you'll benefit from it.
That's great. And I know we've mentioned your book a couple of times. Will you share the title of that so that people can definitely go find it after this? I'll put it linked in the show notes.
Yeah, it's pretty descriptive. I was like, well, you know, you think about a book name, if you ever write one, it's like, well, what else? So I just said, I came up, well, it's more wealth and less taxes. So I was like, how do we accumulate more wealth and pay less taxes? So that's the name of the book. Yeah, it dropped, I think, November in 20 of 22. And so really excited about it. And then I have a lot of resources that individuals can access on my website, just my name, Lance Belline, BELLINE.net. But one of those would be an asset organizer. So Jessica, if you go, well, I wonder how much I currently have in bucket one, or how much do I currently have in bucket two? It kind of walks you through. So we fill out this spreadsheet and it identifies what your current percentages are. And then based on how you're currently saving each year, it will forecast how much you're going to have in each bucket. And so it's been a really helpful tool that a lot of individuals have found beneficial.
That's really great. I want to ask, what are some of the mistakes that you see most common made in this area? And, you know, I'm sure that your book covers some of this, so you don't have to share all the secrets, but
yeah.
I definitely think hearing some of those triggers might prompt kind of part two of my question of like, where do you recommend someone start? So you just shared that asset, you know, tracker, but
yeah,
that they still might not know what to do with that information. So there's kind of two parts to that.
Well, I find I also have a resource on there that finding the right advisor, right? So remember, I have that mastermind group comprised of six firms. So I asked them, hey, if you, you know, what three questions would you ask if you were going to try to find the right person for you to partner with to help guide you financially? So I have a tool there. I was thinking about that because I went to the car dealership to get my car repaired and they told me I needed this, you know, defibrillator to fix my car. I don't know what it is, right? I don't know right questions to ask an auto mechanic. So I think a lot of times that's the issue as well in the financial world, right? Individuals are a little intimidated, so they don't know what to do or how do they find the right person? So I have a tool on the website that will help them. So I think trying to just do too much on your own, I would encourage individuals to partner with somebody that they can trust, that is specializing in helping, you know, them grow their wealth strategically. And we've kind of talked about the other two things already, but time, starting early is your biggest advocate. So regardless of where you're at in life, if you're not saving right now, don't let another year go by. It's paramount that you start today. And then also just try to have a bigger perspective, have a plan in place. So instead of winging it, do we have a plan in place that says, hey, I need to save X amount of dollars per year so I can be financially independent at a certain age? I need to save X amount of dollars per year so I can pay for my children's education that I want to pay for. Kind of having that plan in place. When do I want to be debt free? Right. Especially with interest rates now being higher, right? Back when interest rates were 2-3%, one could argue that that's not that big a deal. But my daughter, who's a senior in college and is wanting to borrow some money for me to kind of for a purchase, you know, I had to send her what the prime rate was, right? Prime rate, right, is set, that's when banks, what they lend rate, right? It's what they lend money, you know, how they decide what rate they're going to charge us. That's 7.5% right now. It's amazing, right?
And that's so probably not even factoring like her being young and lack of history. And you're like, I'm cutting you a break here by showing
yeah,
you this
sure.
number. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, now we have to focus on the debt side of things as well, and in addition to just the accumulation side as interest rates go higher, which they are going to go higher even from this point.
Well, that's really helpful for sure. Is there something you feel, you know, that we haven't touched on in this topic that you would want to, you know, share during this episode with the audience?
You know, I would just tell them that, you know, don't be afraid of making mistakes. Don't ever, you know, live life where you can, you know, making, you know, decisions and being proactive to act versus not react. And then again, as I said, try to align themselves with somebody that they can really engage with, feel trust that they can trust, they can partner with to guide their financial decisions, because God made us emotional about our money. Meaning when we lose money, we are twice as emotional as when we make it. It's just, you know, the proven fact, right? And 24% of the time, or 26%, excuse me, the market, if you invest in it, will lose money. 2022 is one of those, right? If you invested in 22, you lost the S&P, which is, I know a little terminology, but the largest 500 companies in the US that came together lost 19%. That's not fun, right? And so we can kind of be short-sighted when we lose money because we think we should do something. Like I mentioned the car story, when my car gets damaged, I'm going to take it to get repaired, right? If I have a toothache, I'm going to go to the dentist.
Right.
So we're generally are wired to fix something when it's going wrong. So with investing, what I find is individuals become emotional. They make bad short-term decisions when they're losing money, and that means they sell, they get out, and then they don't get back in. And so that's the usually they need somebody to help them be their counselor, their behavioral investment counselor. And it's a lot of times, I think, one of my most important attributes to helping individuals. And so keep that in mind. 74% of the time, the market makes money. 26% of the time it loses, and that's just the facts, and you just have to roll with the punches.
No, that's really helpful. I think that's great. And you know, you're now going to have to come up with a different answer for the same closing question. That was, it's just going to be worded a little differently, because I feel like that could have been a very appropriate response to it. But you know, I do close out by asking, what is one permission slip you want to give the listener? And I know that you've got so much experience and so many little nuggets that you'll be able to come up with something great for them.
Yeah, it's okay to make mistakes. That'd be you know, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to make the right decisions every time. You will recover in whatever circumstance it is. And so just live life knowing that you don't have to be perfect.
I think that's been my favorite thing since diving into the podcast in general, just the amount of people that I've been exposed to either through interviews or just on kind of the personal finance side of social media that has this whole really tight-knit community of everyone's like, learn from my mistakes. Like, I'm not trying to hide that I'm perfect. And here's the things I did wrong. And here's all the things that, you know, I struggled through and where we are now. So it's like, if you're feeling like you're in that same place, that there's hope, essentially, is what a lot of that community is giving out. And I think that's really important through all of this. So I appreciate all of our time. You shared your website and your book earlier. Is there any other links or like websites or company names that you wanted to share that I can put in the show notes as well?
Yeah, my company name is Lighthouse Financial. And so that's just lhfinancial.net is the website there. And that gives them access, more access to myself, all my team members, other advisors. If they ever wanted any, third party opinions or counsel, I'd be glad to do that. But yeah, Lighthouse Financial, and we're located in Northwest Arkansas.
Awesome. But you guys will service people
Yeah, we've
anywhere.
got clients in all but three states. So if you're from Wyoming and listening, Montana, and I think it's what's the other one? It's in the Northeast, but Vermont. I need so if you're listening and you're from those states, we'd love to have you.
Awesome. Well, I hope some of my listeners will reach out, and it sounds like all of your resources will be a really helpful start, and I appreciate our conversation.
It's been great.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Money Your Way. If you loved this episode or you learned something new, it would mean the world to me if you just took a few seconds and shared it with a friend. I cannot wait to keep learning and growing in this journey together.